You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we're wrapping up the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Brand New. We're talking about how Jesus changes everything, and here's the idea of the series. The idea is that Christianity is not one more thing. Sometimes we kind of have that approach in life, like we're looking for the next thing to make our lives better. So we try this, we try that, maybe try a little spirituality. Listen, we're not putting Band-Aids on the same old problems, okay? Christianity is not about self-help. This is not about getting self-motivated and trying harder. It's not just about spirituality or being religious. This is about Jesus Christ. At the center of what Christians have believed, what the church has believed for 2,000 years, is that God came to us in flesh and blood, and in the Son of God, walked this earth. We sang about that a moment ago, and lived a sinless life, and showed us how to live, and he healed people. He set people free. He did amazing things. He went to the cross to free us from our sins. He resurrected to give us new life. And so we believe Jesus can change everything. And the amazing thing is, when we open the scriptures, when we open the gospels, we see Jesus touching people. We see Jesus healing people. And the scripture actually says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he could do that back then, he can do it in your life now. I've seen him do it in my life. I've seen him do it in the life of many other people. Many of you are sitting in this room because you had an encounter with Jesus Christ that changed everything for you. And so we're going to just wrap it up and bring it home today. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been chosen for a special honor before? Anybody? This past weekend was the NFL draft for you football fans. Maybe some of you were paying attention to that. I tried to kind of keep up with it a little bit. And it amazes me to think about these college kids, you know, who are sitting in a room waiting for their name to be called by an NFL franchise, or waiting to get a phone call to be drafted, to be picked to go play for an NFL team, to have that stage, to have that chance to, you know, to have that level of exposure and fame, and some of them going in the first round, becoming multimillionaires. Can you imagine? 21 years old, sitting there, you know, juniors, seniors in college, just getting ready to graduate, or, you know, or having this chance to be chosen by an NFL team. That's got to be an amazing experience. Got to be an amazing thing. Maybe some of you've been chosen for something special in the past, you know, maybe an award when you were in school for academics or for sports, or maybe you were chosen as salesman of the year at your company, or you received some kind of recognition. Doesn't that feel good? Come on, doesn't it feel good when you're chosen for an honor like that? And I was thinking about my life, you know, growing up, and, you know, I've been blessed. I've been honored with some different recognitions in school growing up and in sports. But I thought about one special time I was chosen in the third grade. All throughout elementary school, I had this girlfriend named Natasha. She was the most beautiful girl in the third grade. She was a vision in the third grade. She was amazing. And, you know, every year I had to ask her to be my girlfriend again, because who knows, over the summer she may have met some other guy, you know. She may have been playing the field and keeping her options open. So I had to make sure there was some competition. And so when we got to the third grade, I was feeling the competition. I mean, all the other guys were checking out my girl, and I had to make sure we were still on, you know what I'm saying? I was feeling the pressure. And so I decided to write this very romantic love letter. And it went something like this. I got a piece of paper, and I put my best thought, as much romance as I had inside of me in the third grade, and it went something like this. Dear Natasha, will you be my girlfriend? Circle yes or no. Come on, how many of you guys have written a love letter like that before? And so, you know, I folded it up, and I passed it across the room, and there were some giggles and things going on, but it made it over its way to Natasha. And I saw her unfold that letter, and she looked, and she thought about it for a moment. I was really feeling the pressure. She scribbled something, and that note came back to me, and I opened it, and she circled, yes, yes, my life was validated in the third grade. Natasha said, yes, she chose me out of all those guys, and it was an amazing feeling. And can you imagine, all of these years later, I still think about that. You know, Amy saying yes to me and becoming my wife and the mother of my children, that was pretty good too. But, you know, that moment in third grade, that was amazing. And so it feels good to be chosen, doesn't it? Well, today we're going to look at a story of someone who had an encounter with Jesus, and he was chosen and honored. So what we've been doing in this series is we've been looking at different episodes from the Gospels. Each of the Gospels is an account of Jesus' life and his ministry. And so we've been looking at different stories where people encountered Jesus and he started something brand new in their lives. He changed everything. So we're going to look at a story in Luke chapter 19. It's the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Some of you growing, if you grew up in Sunday school or you went to catechism class, maybe you've heard this story before. It's kind of a famous story. If you haven't heard it before, it's a very relatable story. So Luke chapter 19, let me just set this up for you. Here's what's going on. Jesus is approaching the end of his ministry, okay? He's about to go into the Passion Week and his crucifixion, all of that that we just remembered during Easter time. So he's right at the tail end of his ministry, and he actually just healed a blind man. So he just did this amazing miracle. So there's these crowds of people just following Jesus everywhere, trying to get a glimpse of him, trying to touch him, wanting to see him perform some wonder, some miracle. And that's where we pick it up in Luke chapter 19. I'm using the New Living Translation, so if you're using a digital device and you want to follow along, that's great, but it's going to be on the screen. Luke chapter 19, let's look at it, the first couple of verses here, the story of Zacchaeus. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. So here's Zacchaeus. Here's this crowd of people in Jericho, just kind of chaos, and everybody wants to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And Zacchaeus is there. And the scripture tells us that he was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. Now, I went to seminary, and I took Hebrew, so let me give you the translation, okay? That is Jewish for scumbag, okay? Scumbag, yeah. He was a tax collector. Okay, so here's the deal. Back then, tax collectors were seen as being collaborators with the Roman Empire. At this time, the Israelites, the Jewish people, they were subjects of the Roman Empire. They were a conquered people. They were a province in the Roman Empire. And so tax collectors collected taxes from the people on behalf of Rome. So they were, first of all, seen as collaborators with the oppressors, with the bad guys. Then to make matters worse, they overcharged people and they skimmed off the top to get rich. So not only were they collecting taxes for Rome, but they were ripping people off, and they were hated for it. Now, it's ironic that Zacchaeus' name actually comes from the Hebrew word, which means righteous, because he was anything but righteous. And the scripture tells us that he was in the crowd like everybody else. He wanted to catch a glimpse of Jesus, but he was too short. He was vertically challenged, okay? When I was in Sunday school as a kid, we used to sing this song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. Anybody? Anybody sang that one? Three of y'all. The rest of y'all are like, no, I'm Catholic. We didn't sing that one growing up. I know. It's all good. So here's the deal. Zacchaeus was short. He had to climb a tree to catch a glimpse of Jesus. He was like a paparazzi up in the tree trying to see this celebrity that is Jesus. And, you know, I got to thinking about this. Maybe Zacchaeus was just being smart, and this was about his security. Because when you're a hated man, the last thing you want to be is in the middle of a crowd of people who hate you, because you could end up dead. They might just kill you right there in the middle of the frenzy of trying to see Jesus. So Zacchaeus is up in this tree waiting to see Jesus. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever found yourself in life in this place where you're up in a tree and you wonder how you got there? I mean, stop and think about this for a moment. Have you ever ended up in a place in life and you're like, I never saw myself being here. I never thought things would quite be like this. I thought I would be at a different stage, at a different place in life by the time I reached this stage of my life. See, Zacchaeus, I don't think Zacchaeus started out wanting to be hated by his community. I think Zacchaeus had ambitions. He wanted to be financially successful. He had aspirations and dreams. I'm sure he wanted to be loved and accepted by his community, but his ambitions had run amok, and in pursuing these goals, he had ripped people off, and he had ostracized himself from his community, and he was shunned and hated. And I think most of us, when we get to this place where we find ourselves up a tree in life, we weren't trying to get there. We were trying to be smart. We were trying to pursue good goals for our lives. We weren't trying to mess our lives up. We had noble goals like success and wealth and happiness. But what can often happen is in the process of pursuing those things, we actually get there. We maybe achieve some of those things, but in the end, we find out that we're not happy with who we've become in the process. We get to this place in life and we think, oh, I thought I'd be happier when I got here. I thought I'd be happier once I made this much money. I thought I'd be happier once I got this promotion in my career. I thought I'd be happier by the time I arrived there. But the truth is, I'm not even happy with who I became in the process. See, for some of you, the last 2 weeks, as we looked at two stories of Jesus healing these two broken women, it wasn't really easy for you to relate to them, even though we tried to relate to them. Maybe for some of you, it was a stretch. But for some of you, Zacchaeus, this is the person you can relate to. Because Zacchaeus was a success. Zacchaeus had made it in life, but the thing is, he found himself up a tree in life and really not happy with who he was ultimately. And maybe there's a glimpse of that for you. Maybe you've kind of achieved some things in life, but you're not happy with the father that you are. You're not happy with the spouse that you are. You're not happy with the friend that you've become, with the person you've become. It kind of reminds me of the words of the song Wake Me Up by the DJ Avicii, the young Swedish DJ who just passed away, last week at 20-something years old. These famous words in the song will probably get stuck in your head. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself, and I didn't know I was lost. Wow. Some power in those words, isn't there? So many people are spending so much time running around seeking self-actualization, trying to reach their full potential, but in the process, they've lost themselves, not quite happy with who they are and who they became in the process. Now, back to our story. Look at this, verses 5 through 8. So here's Zacchaeus. He's in the tree. The crowds are passing by. He's trying to get a glimpse of Jesus, and Jesus is making his way right toward where Zacchaeus is. Verse 5 says, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy, but the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Verse 8, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. So here's Zacchaeus in this tree. Jesus comes, he's walking by, and he literally stops right where Zacchaeus is. And he says, Zacchaeus, you got to come down this tree because I'm coming to be a guest at your home today. I'm coming to eat dinner with you. I'm coming to spend some time with you. Now, here's the amazing thing. Jesus could have chosen to dine with anything that day. Here was Jesus. He was a celebrity. Everybody wanted time with Jesus. Anybody would have been honored to have Jesus come and be their dinner guest. I've seen some of these sweepstakes. You ever see this where you can win a prize, and one of the prizes is to have dinner with one of your favorite celebrities? Like, can you imagine, right? Like, you enter the sweepstakes and you win a dinner to have like Beyonce or LeBron James or Taylor Swift comes to your house. Come on, you'd be posting selfies. You'd be all excited. Like, look who I had dinner with. Look who I'm hanging out with, y'all. I'm just saying, Taylor Swift was at the house, you know. We were just hanging out this afternoon. Like, this is what's going on. Like, everybody wants some time with Jesus, and he handpicks Zacchaeus. Now, you have to understand, hospitality was a whole nother level back then, because this was a great honor to have this rabbi, this prophet, this man of God, Jesus, come to his house, because to have someone over to your house and have dinner with them was to publicly associate yourself with that person. You were saying, like, I'm associating myself with this person. It was a lot more intimate than it is just to have somebody over nowadays. This was like, yeah, there was an association there. This was a great honor. Jesus, out of everybody there, handpicks Zacchaeus, the scumbag tax collector, and says, I want to be publicly associated with you. And he honors him in front of everybody. And side note, you know, I just like to think about these things. Can you imagine being at that dinner conversation? Like, I would like to be a fly on the wall. You know, here you got Zacchaeus, right, who's been ripping people off and has gotten rich as a tax collector, and you have Jesus sitting at the table. I just imagine Jesus like, so Zacchaeus, tell me, how's business going? You know, awkward, right? I would just love to have been there with that conversation. And then verse 7, look at what happens when the people see Jesus choose Zacchaeus. It says, but the people were displeased. You can just hear them grumbling. He's going to be the guest of a notorious sinner. What's up with that? Doesn't he know who this guy is? Doesn't he know what this guy's reputation is? And I have good news for you this morning. Jesus looks past your sin and he sees your potential, because that's what he did for Zacchaeus. See, he looked past all that. He knew exactly who Zacchaeus was. He knew what Zacchaeus had done. He knew what his standing was in the community. He knew his sins. He knew his failures. But Jesus looked past all of that and he stopped and he spoke to Zacchaeus and he said, I'm coming to be your guest today, because he looked past all of that and he saw the potential that was on the inside of Zacchaeus. Come on, it's amazing what can happen when we suspend judgment in favor of blessing. Wouldn't it be amazing if the Church of Jesus Christ could get a hold of this principle, if we could suspend judgment in favor of blessing people, speaking blessing over people's lives? How would that change things? Because that's exactly what Jesus did for Zacchaeus. And this acceptance, it changes Zacchaeus's life. Jesus didn't condemn him. He didn't say, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree, you blankety blank, because you know what? You're full of sin. You're messed up. You've been ripping people off. You're a Roman collaborator. You've been skimming off the top, and I'm coming to your house because we're going to straighten some things out. No, he didn't do that. He just looked right past all that, and he said, I want to be your guest. And he honors this man who was shunned by his community, and he chooses him over everyone. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus changes everything because he chooses us? Jesus is choosing you. Jesus is choosing me. And maybe you've never been chosen for a great honor in your life. Maybe you never got that coveted award at work, or you've never been recognized for any great honor. Maybe for some of you, you've had the opposite experience. You know what it is to experience rejection. You know what it is to have somebody judge you because of your failure. We've all experienced human love, the frail version of human love, and that is like when we live up to people's expectations, they love us fully. But when we don't quite live up to their expectations, we feel like they love us a little bit less. Isn't that just true? Like, as human beings, we're just weak in that area, aren't we? Like, sometimes we struggle to just love people for who they are. Am I the only person in this place who needs a little bit of help in this area? We've all experienced the short end of the stick when it comes to not fully loving people, you know, the way that we would like to be loved ourselves. But can I tell you this morning that Jesus chooses you just as you are, no strings attached. That's what he did for Zacchaeus, and that's what he does for us. Can I tell you this morning that the good news of the gospel is that God takes the first step toward you? Did you notice that Zacchaeus wasn't up in the tree saying, Jesus, pick me. I'm up here. I know I'm short, but I'm in a tree. Come on, I've got to spend some time with you. I need some face time with you. No, Jesus takes the first step toward him and says, come down from your tree. I got to spend some time with you. Can I tell you that God wants to have a relationship with you? And so many people conceive of Christianity and spirituality as it's this ladder that I have to climb up to get to God. If I can just do enough good works, if I can just go to church enough, come on, it's like racking up frequent flyer miles or something. If I can just be in church, let me just tell you, I grew up in church. I've been in church more than all y'all. I'm a preacher's kid. We had church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My parents had a Christian school. We had Bible class every day. I went to Bible college. We had chapel every day, okay? If going to church was like racking up frequent flyer miles, I'd be flying to heaven first class. They'd be bringing me the best food. They'd be patting me down with little moist towelettes and stuff. It'd be ridiculous. It would be like Arab Emirates Airlines. I would have like people fanning me on the plane. It doesn't work that way. And sometimes we conceive of it that way, like if I could just, you know, do enough to earn God's favor. Can I tell you that the good news of the gospel, it reverses everything. God comes down the ladder to us. God has taken the first step toward us. He chose you before you chose him. The scripture says that we love him because he first loved us. And so God is choosing you. He's choosing me. He voted with his feet when he sent his son to come down to this planet. He voted with his hands when he went to the cross, and he spread his hands and took that cross for us. And he's choosing you, and he's choosing me. And look at Zacchaeus' response, because this changes him. Look at verse 8. It says, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. What an amazing change. What a change of heart. Somebody who's been skimming off the top. Somebody who's been overcharging people, ripping people off to get ahead in life at the expense of the little guy, oppressing his own people. He has this complete shift in his heart. I'll pay it all back. Now, the amazing thing is that the law would have only required, the Torah, what the Bible prescribed, how you were supposed to live back then, would have only required him to repay people back what he had stolen plus 20%. But Zacchaeus is motivated by something bigger than the law. And he says, I want to pay back up to 400%. You know, I want to give back four times what I owe people. See, he was no longer motivated by the law. He was motivated by the love of God. Can I tell you that for some of you, like, Christianity has been about obligation. It's been about all the things that I have to do to earn God's love and earn God's favor. I have to do this. I have to pray. I have to give. I have to do. No, see, what changes things is when you realize that God has come to you and loved you and chosen you, has looked past your sin and seen your potential, it frees you so that you can say, I get to give back. I get to be the person you've called me to be. I get to do the things you've called me to do. I get to be the spouse that you've called me to be, the parent you've called me to be, the son, the daughter, the friend that you've called me to be. It's a change of heart. Do you understand? Do you see what happens here? And so this blessing overflows from Zacchaeus to the whole village. I mean, money was refunded and restored to families who were broke, people who had been oppressed. This was like the whole village winning the lottery, okay? It was amazing. Like, money actually began to overflow out of Zacchaeus back into other people and actually restored people. There's economic justice happening here. A little something we should just take note of here, right? When God blesses you, when it's truly the work of God in your life, it'll look like overflow from you into other people's lives. Because that's what happens here with Zacchaeus. And the amazing thing is, Jesus simply filled Zacchaeus' need to be loved. Here was a guy who I'm sure didn't start off his life wanting to be the village outcast, wanting to be this guy who's hurt all of these people. He had ambitions. He had dreams. He wanted to be loved. He wanted to be accepted. And you know what? Jesus looked past all of his shortcomings, and he looked right on the inside of him, and he saw his need to simply be loved. And that's exactly what he did. He just loved Zacchaeus. He just said, "Zacchaeus, I love you, man. I'm going to come to your house. I'm choosing you. I'm going to publicly associate myself with you." Come on, that's what Jesus has done for us. Jesus looked at us. He looked past our sins. He looked past our failures. And he saw the longing inside of you to be loved for who you are unconditionally. And Jesus is saying, "I am going to publicly associate myself with you. I'm in. I'm with you. I'm with you." He casts his lot. "I am with the broken. I'm with the poor. I'm with human beings who don't have it all together. That's who I'm with." And that's what he does for Zacchaeus, and he does for us. And notice that this blessing flowed out of Zacchaeus' life. Let me ask you this morning. What's flowing out of your life? What's flowing out of the lives of people around you? Is it healthy? Is it good? Is it bitterness? I think we've all been through times where we've all known someone where we just watch bitterness coming out of somebody. Like, they're angry, they're mad, just cursing up a storm at everybody all the time, going on social media, just going on rants all the time. When you're around them, like, there's just toxic stuff coming out of them. There's negative vibes coming out of that person. I know it's nobody in here, so maybe we've all known somebody like that. But, you know, there's just this stuff coming. There's negativity. And does it ever make you wonder, like, I wonder where that's coming from? Like, I wonder what the source of that is, you know? When we go through seasons like that, like, what happened? Who hurt you? Who rejected you? What disappointment is there in life? What was the thing that you were chasing after that you didn't get? What tree did you find yourself up in that those negative vibes are coming out of you? And then there's the opposite. Like, we've all been around people who just have grace and, like, love and just mercy and healing, just compassion coming out of those kind of people. And it's always good to have somebody like that who's got a little bit more of that than you, so you can aspire to be like them. Keep some people like that in your life, you know? Some people have been walking with Jesus for a long time, so you can just kind of say, man, I want to be like that. I need people like that in my life. I'm thankful for people who have been walking with the Lord a lot longer than me, and they can just set an example to me. But here's the interesting thing. Like, what's the source of that, right? Like, you might say, well, what's their secret? How do they live that way? Nothing rattles them. It's because they've had this encounter with Jesus. See, here's the interesting thing. The interesting thing is that from the same wound can flow bitterness or healing. Stop and think about that for a moment. Zacchaeus wasn't a completely different person on the spot. What had changed was his heart had changed. See, Jesus had filled that spot where negativity had been flowing from him. He filled it with healing. He filled his desire and his need to be loved so that it changed him. And now it manifested itself in him being able to bless other people. See, we've all been hurt in life. The reality is, one thing we all have in common is we've all been hurt. We all have this need to be loved. We all have this need for affirmation. And the truth is, at some point in time in life, most of us have gone through a season where we didn't get enough of that, or something happened to us. Somebody hurt us. And here's the difference. Here's the difference is Jesus can reach down and heal that area of your life so that where bitterness and negativity used to flow from that place, now healing flows from that place and grace flows from that place. So it's not about being perfect. We've all been wounded. It's about being healed. It's about being set free. It's about the affirmation of God over your life. And so love changes people's hearts. Think about this for a moment. Remember what Zacchaeus' name meant? We talked about this earlier in the message. His name meant righteous, right? It came from this Hebrew word, righteous. Look at what Jesus did for Zacchaeus. Jesus gave Zacchaeus the ability to live up to his name. And that's what he does for us. Jesus looks at you. He sees your potential. He sees what God placed on the inside of you. He sees everything in you that he put on the inside of you, and he gives you the ability to live up to the person, to be the person that he always called you to be. He looks past all the other stuff that's really not you. He looks past all the other failures. See, here's the problem. We trick ourselves with our little guilty conscience. We tell ourselves that all of the failures and the shortcomings and the mistakes and the things that we hate about ourselves, we tell ourselves that that's the real us. But Jesus looks at you, and he just goes right past all of that, and he calls forth the real you to come out. Will the real you step out? Zacchaeus, this is the real you. That's not you. The real Zacchaeus is a man of righteousness. He's a man who has the ability to bless his village. And so put this in your notes this morning. The love of Jesus gives us the ability to be the best version of ourselves. The person that you always wanted to be. The dad you always wanted to be. The mom you always wanted to be. The spouse you always wanted to be. The friend, the brother, the sister, the Christian, the believer that you always wanted to be. Jesus gives you that ability. If you've come up short in any of those categories, if you've been a little bit frustrated, if you kind of tend to beat yourself up and feel like you can never be good enough, can I just give you some peace of mind this morning? Jesus did for you what you can never do for yourself. And he releases that potential from the inside of you. And I love how the story ends. If you look at verse 9 and 10, it says, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." See, Jesus pronounces salvation over his life. He affirms again his identity. He's not a collaborator with Rome. He's not a scumbag tax collector who rips people off. This man, too, is a son of Abraham. He's a true member of God's family. For the Son of Man, Jesus, that's a prophetic title he used about himself, came to seek and to save the lost. See, salvation came to Zacchaeus in the person of Jesus Christ. Came to him, and he's coming to you and to me. And Zacchaeus experienced a heart change. See, his good actions didn't save him. It wasn't that he went and gave money back to the poor and paid back what he had taken, and that's what saved him. No, see, the good actions, the deeds flowed from a changed heart. Do you understand? We get so fixated on the actions sometimes. The actions flow. The actions are the evidence. The good words, they're the fruit of the heart change that has already happened. And you know, when I was growing up in Sunday school, that little song that I sang for you before, we always kind of learned this story like Zacchaeus was the hero. Like Zacchaeus, you know, he was a wee little man. Wee little man was he wanted to see Jesus so much that he climbed up the sycamore tree. Wow, go Zacchaeus. You're such a good guy, little short guy, wanted to see Jesus so bad that he climbed up the tree. No, the reality is Zacchaeus is the scumbag. He's the villain in the story, and Jesus is the hero. But Jesus came to him. Jesus was seeking and saving those who were lost, and he came to Zacchaeus, and he's the hero. He's the one who came and found him, and he released Zacchaeus into his full redemptive purpose. Can I tell you this morning that Jesus is the hero of your story? He is coming to you. He is coming to me and wanting to love us, wanting to affirm us, wanting us to know the love of the Father that changes our hearts. And many of us, we struggle to receive that. The truth is, many of us, We struggle to love other people the way we want to love them because we haven't fully received the love of the Father for ourselves. That's hard for some of us. Some of you, your background, your story, your relationship with even your father affects that. And we have trouble believing that God really loves us for who we are. And many of us have been taught that we have to do all of these things to earn God's love. And if you haven't heard anything else I'm saying today, here's what I'm telling you. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you anymore. There's nothing that you can do to make him love you any less. Jesus loves you just as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are. Jesus loves you as you are, with your story, with your past, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful parts of your life, and the broken parts of your life. He looks at all of it. He sees it all, but he loves you just as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are, up a tree in life. And he calls you down from that tree. And he says, look, I love you. I'm accepting you. I'm coming for you. I'm taking the first step to you. I got a purpose for your life, and I want to release you into your full redemptive potential. You know, as a parent, there's some days I get it right. There's a lot of days I get it wrong. If you're a parent in this place, you know what I mean. And many times as a parent, I can find myself just railing on my kids and pointing all the things that they didn't do that I asked them to do. Come on, parents. It's so easy to slip into that, right? Like we just rattle off a list of all the things they didn't do that we wanted them to do. I told you to do this. I told you to pick up your room. I told you if you were taking a bath, you had to put your towel, blah, blah, blah. Like I can just go after them and just hound them with the list of things they didn't do. And here's the reality. They're all true. I didn't make up none of them, you know? But every now and then I have these little Holy Spirit moments, these little moments of grace where God reminds me, speak into their potential. know, every now and then I'll say to him, I'll say to Michael or Aaron, I'll say, come on. Now, I know that there's a sweet boy on the inside of you that can listen to mom and dad. I know that you can show us your love by doing what we ask you to do. And I come on, I'm going to call that forth in you. I want you to be the sweet young man that I know you can be. I know you love Jesus. I know you love God. I know you can show that to mom and dad by doing what we're asking you to do. Those are the days that I get it right. Every now and then, there's a lot of days I get it wrong. Most of the days I get it wrong. But do you understand, like, this is the way the Father looks at you, and when you get this, it changes everything. Like, he looks at you with the love of a father, and he speaks to your potential today. He says, I love you. First of all, I want you to know I love you no matter what. I want my kids to know I love you no matter what, even when you drive me crazy. I still love you no matter what. He loves you no matter what, but he speaks to the potential on the inside of you. So what would it look like for us to get a hold of that today? What would it look like for us to get this revelation that God loves us as we are, the good, the bad, and the ugly, but he wants to love us into being the person that he's called us to be? What would it look like for you to live out of your full redemptive potential, to stop being hampered by the past, to stop living out of a place of hurt where negativity is flowing out of you, but to receive healing there, to receive the affirmation of God the Father in that place in your life so that you can live out of the potential that God has spoken over your life? I don't know about you, but I want that in my life. I want to keep coming back to that. I want to say, God, I want to live out of the person that you made me to be, because there's a lot of days I fall short of being the person you called me to be, but God, by your grace, by your love, by your mercy, by your healing, God, I want to more and more walk and step and live into being the person that you've called me to be. Come on, if you want that this morning, stand with me. We're going to pray today, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to do something in us today. Just stand with me to your feet. Let's just stay focused for a moment, and we're going to pray. We're going to just have a moment with the Holy Spirit this morning and say, God, speak to me. God, show me what this means for my life, how to live out of my full redemptive potential. Some of you have got some hurts you need to let go of. Some of you might even have a father wound in that area. Like, it's hard for me to receive the love of God the Father. Can I tell you this morning, God is the Father that you always wish you had. I know for some of you that's not easy, but he's the Father that you always long for. And that's why that longing is in your heart. And that's the way he wants to love you. It's an unconditional love. And he affirms you today. He is affirming you today. He's saying, I want to publicly be associated with you. I am coming for you. You're the one I came for. I came to seek you and to save you, to have a relationship with you. And we can love today because he first loved us. And it's that love that brings healing to our hearts, releases us to live a whole new way of life. Would you pray with me this morning? Just bow your head. Maybe you want to lift your hands, but this is a moment of reflection. Can we pray together this morning? Father, we thank you for your word today. Jesus, we thank you that you change everything. We thank you that you chose us. Lord, before we chose you, the scripture says that, Lord, you chose us. You're the one who awakened our souls. You're the one who caused us to see our need for you. You're the one who placed the longing for love deep on the inside of us today. And God, I thank you that today you are coming to us with your grace, with your love, and with your mercy, just as we are, God. Just as we are today, God. In our beauty and our brokenness, God. Choose us today by your Son. Father, right now I'm praying for healing in people's hearts. Father, I'm praying that by your Spirit, that thought, that revelation will get deep inside of our hearts and minds today, that it would bring healing to us. And that, Father, not only will we find your grace and forgiveness, that, Lord, out of that healing, blessing would begin to flow out of our lives to other people. Freely we have received, we can freely give to others. Lord, would you release this church? Would you release this congregation to live in their full redemptive potential? God, I thank you that today you look at them, you see past the sins, you see past the failures, you see past, Lord, past hangups. And God, today you see every person in this place, you see their full potential today, God, the person that you made them to be. And I call it forth in them today to embrace everything you have for their lives, to step into the reality of who you've called them to be. Now, Father, I take a moment to pray for those in this place who today they need to step over the line today and say, Jesus, I receive you into my life. God, I want to pray for the person who hasn't prayed that prayer ever before, or maybe they've they've been wanting to pray it for some time or need to re-pray it because they haven't prayed it in years. But today, the Father is calling out to you. He's saying, come down out of that tree and come have a relationship with me. You need to say yes. Zacchaeus had to give Jesus his yes. There are some people in this place today. You need to be able to say on Sunday, April 29th, I gave Jesus my yes. If that's you, would you pray with me? Just bow your heads. If there's anybody in this place today, I just want to know, would you just slip your hand up, just wave at me and say, Pastor, I'm praying with you right now. Pray for me. Come on. Some hands up around this place. That's good. You can put your hand down. It's just a way of letting me know, hey, Pastor, I'm praying with you. Let's pray together. Would you just repeat this prayer? You can just pray it under your breath. Jesus, I thank you for loving me. I receive your love. And today I'm giving you my yes. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to love the way you love. I receive you into my life. I choose to accept your work on the cross that frees me to be the person you called me to be.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.